You can't tell anyone, Jake said in a panicked whisper when Mr. Reardon's footsteps faded down the hallway. He didn't mean it. You sure about that? Simon whispered back. Simon, please. Promise me. Please. I promise, Simon whispered, just to shut him up. Mr. Reardon was still out of hearing distance, but he wouldn't be for long. Whatever he was planning next, one thing was for certain. He wouldn't want a witness. So when Jake started rocking back and forth, seemingly lost in his own world, Simon took advantage of the opportunity to get to his feet and slip outside, as quickly and noiselessly as he could. All the way toward the patch of grass where he'd left his bike, Simon expected to feel a hand on his arm, Jake or Mr. Reardon pulling him back, begging him to stay quiet. Or maybe they'd insist on it, get angry and threaten that he'd wind up like Alexander Alton. Simon was so caught up in the drama of what felt like an inevitable confrontation that when he reached his bicycle and glanced over his shoulder, he was disappointed to see nothing but the empty stretch of grass he'd just crossed. He was a murder witness, and the Reardons were still treating him like he didn't exist. Simon picked his bicycle up from the grass and slung one leg over the seat. Then he paused, unable to tear his eyes away from the Reardons' palatial home. He didn't want to leave yet. He wanted to know what happened next. Simon made his way to the Reardons' kitchen window and hoisted himself up onto the flower-covered trellis below it until he could see inside. Instantly, he spotted Alexander Alton's body, all stiffness and unnatural angles. And beside it, there was Jake, staring at the floor with wide, blank eyes. Any minute, Simon thought, any minute, Mr. Reardon would come back and see the boy he'd always believed was his son standing over the body of his real father. Simon couldn't even begin to guess what would happen then. This was the strangest, most surreal experience of his entire life, and he wasn't 100% certain that he wasn't dreaming. And then, the body twitched. Simon nearly fell off the trellis, certain his imagination had gotten the better of him, until he saw Jake recoil in shock. Neither of them was seeing things. Alexander's hand moved, and then his head. Faint, but definite. He was still alive, which meant, what? Would Mr. Reardon call an ambulance? How was he going to explain what had happened? And what would Alexander Alton do once he got out of this house? He could take Jake away, Simon thought. It's probably what he and Ms. Reardon were planning to do anyway. Before Simon could wonder for too long, though, Jake grabbed a towel that was draped over the oven door and folded it in two. He knelt beside Alexander Alton and then, as Simon watched through the window, pressed the towel over Alexander's face. Even as Alexander struggled weakly, Jake held it there. After a few minutes that passed with agonizing slowness, there was no movement at all. Simon dropped from the trellis, breathing hard. He could tell someone, he thought. He could rip the entire Reardon family apart and let Chelsea Alton and her brothers know exactly what had happened to their father. That was the right thing to do, probably, but it wouldn't bring Alexander Alton back. He'd promised Jake that he would stay quiet. That was when they'd thought Alexander Alton's death was an accident, though. Simon didn't owe Jake anything now, but Jake owed him. Even before he'd watched Jake finish what Mr. Reardon had started, Jake owed Simon a staggering debt, the kind where Simon could tell Jake to do anything, and he'd have to do it. He would wait, Simon decided, settling himself onto his bike. Wait and see whether Mr. Reardon got away with what he'd done. He and Jake might feel safe then, like they were still the picture-perfect family they'd always pretended to be. But they weren't. Not when Simon could reveal the truth at any time. Secrets are power, Simon thought as he pedaled away.